Welcome to the Big Mike Fun Podcast, where you learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secured retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in. Because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fun Podcast. I'm the Big Mike, Mike Zlotnik. Today it is my pleasure and a privilege to welcome Kathy Fatke. Hi, Kathy.
Hi there.
Thank you very much for joining. We were supposed to get your husband Rich too, but he's a busy man. So
yes, he is. Someone's got to run the company, right?
That's right. But I'm sure you do that job better than he does. So you're co-CEO with Rich of Real Wealth Network. You are three times Inc. Magazine 5000 real estate investment group of the year with 54,000 members. So I'll let you introduce yourself a little bit better. So let's start with your family. Where do you live? Your family? Do you have any pets? Great hobbies. Sure. Obviously, Rich is your hobby.
Yep. I'm married to my business partner and life partner, Rich Fedke. And we live in Southern California, although I'm born and raised in Northern California. And we have two kids. One is at San Diego State and having the time of her life, even though there's no classes, you know, in your senior year, you don't go to class generally anyway. So she's having a great time. And then my older daughter is 28. I have my first grandbaby. He's the cutest thing.
Congratulations.
She just started her own business to kind of follow in mom, wanting to be able to work, but also be home with the baby. And so she started an email marketing company, and she has just bombarded. Her business is growing so quickly. So it's wonderful to watch. And we have a dog who's on the couch, I think. Yep.
the third child, right?
Yeah, of course.
Because I have four kids and a cat, the way I like to introduce them. Yes. It's the fifth child. So.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. So appreciate you sharing thoughts on Southern California. Climate beats the heck out of New York. That I have to say. We got snow and it's cold and it's gloomy and doomy, and you guys are enjoying much better weather.
It's a little cold here, but you know, I could still go outside in shorts and feel okay. So
being in Southern California, believe me, I give all the credit that you guys have the best weather in the country. So that's all I'm going to say. Now let's talk a little bit about real estate. So question number one, we've had a great run. I mean, we had a terrible pandemic, and real estate has been doing great despite the pandemic. Why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not something we necessarily could have predicted, that it would do what it did, especially in March. It was kind of a terrifying time, and real estate did come to a halt along with a lot of other things. But, you know, quite frankly, it was the Federal Reserve swooped in and saved the economy by printing trillions of dollars. That tends to fix things for a time period. And a lot of that money went into mortgages. So, you know, basically the Fed would buy mortgage-backed securities and that kept keeps the money flowing. And then with interest rates being so low, you can see that for some reason, the Federal Reserve really wanted to keep housing, you know, on top, and it worked.
Yeah, it certainly has. Don't go against the Fed, flow with the Fed. And I mean, they recovered the stock market, obviously, but real estate has done phenomenally well. And yeah, low interest rates is like a fuel for the real estate market fire. It's obviously true for residential, right? So we are very specific here in residential. What has been happening in multifamily? What's been your experience? Because I know you do a number of multifamily deals. So
yeah, I mean, our focus is really helping new investors and experienced investors, just people who are really busy. We help them acquire 1 to 4 units nationwide, properties that are renovated and have management in place. We do some multifamily, but our focus really has been on single family. And I was having trouble over the last few years finding any multifamily deals that penciled for me. And I was a little worried that I was watching other people present pro formas that just didn't make sense to me, you know, just assumptions that were to me just assumptions and not reality of how they could push rents up when, you know, the market had maybe peaked there. So I was already a little concerned about multifamily, but I also knew that there were parts of the country where housing, single family housing, hadn't really peaked yet. So that's what we focus on. I mean, for sure in California, that was not a place we're investing. We already knew prices were pretty high and didn't make sense. There was no cash flow. unless you're doing maybe short-term rental or Airbnb type stuff, then it can really, really cash flow. But we were already looking at areas where there was a demographic shift happening because of affordability, because of jobs. And then we just saw the virus actually accelerated all of that. So with your question of, where do I see multifamily versus single family? I was concerned about multifamily before the virus. I got real concerned about it when the virus hit because I thought, oh boy, you know, we've got these eviction moratoriums. Some of these people went into these deals. They paid too much for the multifamily. Now they're not going to collect rents. How are they possibly going to make this work? Whereas with our single family rentals, we saw higher collections. We saw higher demand than ever as more and more people wanted to get into a house with a yard and have their home be their castle. And not want to have to share elevators or, you know, airspace with other people. So our business was booming. I was really concerned about multifamily. I thought, boy, we're going to see so many defaults on these commercial loans. And here we are, you know, almost a year later, and cap rates are actually going down in most areas. And, you know, that's amazing. So people are still living in apartments. Some areas are harder hit than others. Of course, we know New York and San Francisco, LA, multifamily's been hit hard, but not across the board, not across the board. It's still really hard to find a good deal, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, great feedback. I observed a lot of similar things, and I agree with you. What markets specifically have you been investing in where you could find good cash flow and quality product in the single family or 1-4 doors? What specific markets?
Yeah, I mean, it's been quite a ride, right? For the last 10 years, we were able to get really, really, really cheap real estate 10 years ago. And as prices went up and more people got in, the returns got lower, prices go up, returns go down generally. So in the last few years, we really had to get picky and go into areas that hadn't taken off yet. And, you know, where's that? Well, a lot of businesses are looking for the same things we're looking for. Many businesses are looking for a good place that's affordable, where their employees can live inexpensively and have good lives, not have to commute too far. So we just follow the jobs, follow where people are going, look for states that also are trying to keep expenses down. No state income tax states like Florida and Texas, low income tax states. Also like Alabama, North Carolina, business-friendly states, landlord-friendly states. These are the places we were focused on anyway in 2020. It just accelerated because we're not the only ones looking for that. Businesses are looking for that. People are looking for that. With businesses shutting down, a lot of people thought, well, I want to go to a place where I can keep it open. Just look at Elon Musk. He's like done with California, move into places that want his business. And so that's what we're doing too. What a lot of people are concerned about is this real estate bubble, but what's not being, you know, maybe focused on is that if you have jobs moving in and you have high paying jobs moving in and people can afford the real estate, even if that real estate is higher cost than it was last year or the year before or 10 years ago, you have a different dynamic happening there. So it's not like Stockton, California in 2009, nothing really changed in that market except for good, easy loans. In 2003, 4, 5, 6, people were moving to Stockton because it was too expensive to live in the Bay Area, but nothing really in Stockton was so much changing. There weren't businesses necessarily moving there. So when the bubble burst, that city got hit really, really, really hard. And so I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about cities that have transformed. They are not the same place they were 10 years ago.
Examples. So which specific cities?
I mean, for sure, when we first started investing in Dallas, Texas, that was 2005, it wasn't really on the map. You know, people thought, you know, there's nothing that happens in Dallas, but we knew something was happening in Dallas. It was jobs, massive job growth, population growth, and that drove prices up. Even when people were saying there's nothing but land, prices will never go up. They went up 3-4 times since we bought there because of that. So today, the areas that are experiencing something similar, nothing really compares to Texas. It's really the job, you know, engine of the country. But areas that are kind of having a lot of growth as well, Atlanta, parts of Florida, Jacksonville, Tampa, just, you know, some of the areas inland that weren't around, surrounding Orlando, the Carolinas, and those would be the higher growth markets. But then you've got markets that aren't growing as fast, but they're really steady. They're really steady. They're growing slowly. And that would be in the Midwest, in parts of Ohio, where there's been a complete transformation. It's not the same place it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for that caller. Yeah, steady Eddie markets. The Midwest has always been steady Eddie. And you're right, the Southern markets have been kind of explosive growth. And it's all about jobs. At the end of the day, real estate heavily depends on people's ability to pay rent, especially
that's
residential.
Right.
So
right.
If they have jobs, they could pay rent. If they don't have jobs, they rely on the government help, subsidy, and that then it's a terrible situation where the government has to take care of the citizens, which is, it's a safe, the government should be there as a last resort. But as long as the private enterprise is moving and the businesses are expanding, these cities should do pretty well. And yeah, Atlanta, Dallas, you mentioned, obviously Florida are all considered to be great markets. And Florida is kind of on the East Coast. All the it's a destination to get away from the cold weather of the Northeast. And now, like Jacksonville and a number of other cities, Tampa, the economy continues to boom. You're right. So let's continue along the same lines. So what do you think about some of the recent developments? So one of the key drivers of the real estate growth has been lower interest rates. The Fed lowered the rates. But recently, again, and this is true from about middle of last year, I think the lowest interest a rate point on a 10-year treasury and a 30-year treasury was somewhere around August. The rates have been going up. And then from beginning of January till now, there's been a substantial move up in the interest rates on a 30-year treasury and 10-year. And the mortgages sort of function as they depend on that. The reason is pretty obvious. Everybody's expecting that $1.9 trillion package. The government is going to have to sell a lot of treasuries to finance the stimulus. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Is this going to cause any grief to real estate? People getting a little nervous and are we going to have some kind of fast interest rate move, or you feel the Fed is going to come in and just buy it all?
Well, from my experience, the interest rates have gone up, but only slightly. I was just talking to our mortgage people today, and you can still get an investor loan at 3.5%. I mean, that's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. When I got in this business, it was 8%. I was happy to pay it. So to me, it's extremely, extremely inexpensive. And at the end of the day, it's really about the cash flow, which still exists. You can still get it in the right markets. I think that's the key, is that there is no real estate market. There's no stock market per se. There's some stocks that do really well, some companies that do well, some that are dying, some are growing, some are dying. I mean, some are just complete speculation. It's the same in real estate. When we were buying in Dallas in 2005, people were buying in San Francisco, paying way too much. That it didn't make sense at all. We were paying in Dallas $120,000, $140,000 for a brand new, beautiful four-bedroom house near a lake. I mean, 20 minutes outside of Dallas. Incredible. Incredible. You can't get that today, but back then it was the case when the rest of the country was really in a bubble, or some cities. So you just have to really be careful about where you're buying and understand that interest rates will creep up. They can't go this low forever. They will creep up. Most of the experts and economists I speak with, I just had Doug Duncan on my podcast, and chief economist for Fannie Mae. They're projecting that interest rates will be pretty low for a few years. So we have a few years of maybe not the lowest rates ever, but pretty close. So that tells me that real estate's going to be pretty much, and when I say real estate, I'm talking residential. Certainly single family homes, 1 to 4 units, they're going to be in great demand for the next few years as more and more people find out they can live anywhere. And if they can live anywhere, they can live somewhere that's cheaper. if they were paying $4,000 a month in rent living in downtown New York for a little apartment, now they can live in Wyoming or, you know, near a river somewhere in the middle of nowhere and have solar, you know, and just work and have their kids in a nice country school. I mean, you know, everything is changing. People have the opportunity to make as much money as they always have, but live anywhere. I mean, what a concept. What a concept. We're really at a point in life. It was coming anyway. We already knew technology was about to take off. We're about to enter the biggest technology breakthrough ever this decade. I mean, the things we are about to experience are going to be, we can't even imagine it right now. I mean, I've gone to events where they said we're going to be flying our cars in 10 years. So I already knew that we were going to have major shifts where people could live anywhere. I just didn't know what happened in 2020, you know, but for many people, it did happen. And so that's a game changer. When you've got someone with $100,000 salary, $200,000 salary moving to Bozeman, Montana, or, you know, wherever they want to live, some fishing village or in the middle of, you know, the Ozarks. So what was historically the historic factors we would look at, which was local job growth, they're not as important anymore, which is interesting. We have to look at different metrics. So everything's changing. I think that's the bottom line, is we got to prepare for everything changing this decade as technology continues to get, you know, enhance our lives.
Yeah. Thank you for that. That was fascinating. I mean, it wasn't a revelation. It was an acknowledgement of what COVID has accelerated. It has accelerated the move to e-commerce. Obviously, Amazon's and technology providers and the Zooms have drastically grown. And it's sort of been kind of the one third of the all stocks. I don't know if you follow that.
Yeah,
have been doing phenomenally while two thirds have been struggling. The cruise lines and the hotels and all the local restaurant businesses, they've been struggling, but the one third of the businesses have been booming. And mm-hmm. what you are saying is the move is to accelerate to this virtual environment where you can work from anywhere. And if you're doing a white collar sort of work, even telemedicine, if you could do it from Bozeman, Montana, as you mentioned, or anywhere. You could enjoy that lifestyle and collect the big city pay. So that's definitely revolutionary. I don't know about flying cars. I remember Back to the Future movie when they went 30 years into the future and they had flying cars. We were already past that. The cars are not flying yet. But it's certainly the self-driving cars, at least, we were sort of there. Mm-hmm. It's to the point where I told my kids, you guys don't need to learn how to drive. You're in New York City. I don't want you to have problems banking somebody else's car and dealing with that, because the self-driving cars are coming, and it's sooner rather than later. And you're right. There's an acceleration to the technology world. So how else does it impact real estate? Obviously, single-family residential, people need to live somewhere, and the demand from in the states and cities with better quality of life is accelerating, while demand hopefully New York is not going to hit too hard. I'm here, and I still love the city. I don't necessarily love the political environment, but New York City absolutely is a great city. But what's going to happen? I mean, one of the concerns is, at least the observation here, is the office space. All this massive office space, mm-hmm. and retail is suffering. It's not going to do well, and it feels like the recovery in that sector, if ever, is going to take forever. So maybe not all asset classes do well. Certain parts of it do, and some other ones will continue to. It's a fundamental shift. So who needs all these millions and millions and millions of square feet of office space? People are telecommuting. So I don't know, any thoughts and comments?
Yeah. You know, I've heard different opinions on that we may not ever go back to the way things were. I don't know. I don't know if we see another virus like this, if there's a a mutation, if the vaccines don't work. We just don't really know what the future holds. But one big thing we learned is that it could happen again. It could. And so some people are saying that if you're going to have an office space, you're going to have your people more separate. So perhaps there will be a need for larger office buildings because you won't have people in little cubicles next to each other. They'll be spread out, maybe in their own unit. So, I've heard different things. I wouldn't be investing right now in downtown high rises, but something will happen with those buildings that will be great because humans are so innovative. There are things that we need that can't be ordered online. A need is, whatever, but like massages and, get your nails done or, these things, get your dog groomed. These aren't things you can order online. So there will always be a need for services. There will still be companies that need to have an office, certainly in any kind of manufacturing. I think that's a big thing that we learned is the U.S. needs to manufacture more. We can't be dependent on other countries for the things that we need to survive on. So manufacturing will come back and that will, that requires people to be there unless it's all robots and machines doing it, which is something that was already happening also, right? We already knew that robots were going to take over a lot of the jobs that have been lost. Just a lot of things accelerated in 2020 that were already happening. I've done so many stories on my real estate news podcast about robots taking jobs. I don't know if you've been to a restaurant lately where you just, before the pandemic, where you just order through an iPad, and everything was already changing. So my hope is that more and more people who lost their jobs will be retrained on jobs of the future that we don't even know will exist yet,
Yeah, these are, again, outstanding points. Yeah, for sure. The restaurant industry is changing. No more order takers. You order it yourself. The other fascinating thing, you're right, the distribution warehouses, it's fascinating experience how much automation there is. Obviously, in car manufacturing, all that automation has been there for years, and now it's only accelerating. And you're right about the... I heard that theory too, that the office space could now be just more square feet per employee. Mm-hmm. And there is some of that theory for sure. The other thing, we've been investing in some of these projects, office conversions to multifamily. Mm-hmm. Obviously, hotel conversions to multifamily, repurposing of some of these assets that are projected to struggle for a long time, highest and best use is no longer what they were. The office theory with bigger space. The short answer to that question, they won't be able to afford to pay same rent per square foot because the cost per employee will go up. I mean, if you wait to think about it. Yeah. So there's going to be some fundamental changes, and really, most people will be just used to this environment, just working remotely, yeah, and going to conferences through Zoom. So there's some of that concerns. What I do hope, New York City still has a Broadway. I don't know if people will get used to watching Broadway instead of going into these theaters. Maybe it's going to be a great virtual experience. The show will go on, except for people are not going to be sitting and watching the live performance. Who knows, right?
Who knows? I mean, I've been to several events and concerts where I couldn't see a thing on the stage. I was only watching a screen anyway. I was too far away. Unless you're paying for that front row seat, you're looking at a screen anyway. But, we'll see. I think we are going into a new normal. I was traveling every single week. I'm so happy to not be. And I'm realizing I didn't maybe need to do all that traveling. And maybe if I'm going to travel, it's going to be because I'm going to go somewhere fun, somewhere where I want a vacation, not necessarily to a conference that I could do online in my pajamas. So I think something really wonderful is going to come out of this experience. It already has. I've talked to a lot of people who had the same realization of, wow, I was really going 100 miles an hour. I got reunited with what matters to me, got in touch with, playing board games with my kids, doing the simple things in life. And again, having that, at least for the purposes of real wealth and our business, we believe that the home has just elevated to an even higher level of importance because so much is going to be happening in that home. People have learned how to cook again. You know, people have learned how to make bread. That was a huge thing. you know, again, pulling out those old games you haven't played for a while and saying, well, this is really nice. This is fun to do this instead of just watching TV every night or whatever. So I think really good things will come of it. Innovative ideas will come out of this. I'm extremely optimistic that that we have an amazing future ahead of us on this planet. Just the realization that people had when we shut down the economy and we saw the difference in our environment. That alone, to be able to live in Los Angeles and be able to see the mountains because there was no smog, people were mind blown. So when it turns out that you know, you didn't really have to do that commute to the office every day. You could get just as much done not commuting and saving the environment. So again, environmentally, I think we'll have some great outcomes from this.
Yeah, that's the truth. We've sometimes you got to hit the stop button and everything stops, and it sort of did that. The earth stood still for a little bit. It was a very bizarre, never, at least in our lifetime, we've seen this experience when we had to stay still for a couple of months, and it you know, we discovered a lot about ourselves. And you're right.
Yeah.
So just a couple of final quick questions, and let me know what your thoughts are. So from a residential real estate, there's a really good news coming, supposedly, right? The fact that they're going to give first time home buyer $15,000, which is yet more fuel.
Oh yeah.
So. What do you think about that? And I guess it'll push the prices up even more because more people will be able to afford, right?
Well, you know, it wouldn't push the prices up if we had enough for everybody. But you know, the fact of the matter is, so much of economics relies on supply and demand. You just can't throw up a bunch of new houses. It's hard to do. It takes time. You need to put the utilities in. It takes years to get a subdivision up and running. I know LA is trying to, there's going to be new technologies that make it more possible in the future. But right now, there is just limited supply versus demand. And then when you add more demand and more ability with people getting basically the down payment covered with this tax credit, the only thing I can imagine is that we'll see prices go up as long as interest rates are low and people can afford the price. And we have to remember there's people moving. There's just a lot of migration happening. So for someone leaving LA and they go to a place like Denver or Dallas or Tampa, and they find a $300,000 house in an area that used to be $200,000, and everybody's like, it's a bubble. $300,000 for people from high price markets, it's literally, like buying a car, you know, it's so cheap. So unfortunately, areas that have been affordable won't be, most likely will not be very much longer.
Yeah, you're right. And new construction, I guess, is not keeping up. Obviously, you're in the industry where you sell turnkey houses. Mm-hmm. What do you think about built to rent? That seems to be a massive trend.
That's all we're doing.
That's all you're doing.
Yeah, we're competing against everybody, like to find the older houses. So we have to build new ones. Because we're finding some in certain markets, we're able to find existing homes. But for the most part, there's so many offers and prices being driven up. It's just, we'd just rather build new for the same price. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the trend number one in today's environment, because it's been hard to find fix and flip projects and do it at the right price. So economics don't work. So just a quick example for your investor, for folks who invest, when they buy a built to rent house, what's a typical, you know, we're talking about the secondary markets. You pick the market. Yeah. What's a typical sales price and what kind of rent people get for that?
Yeah, we have, believe it or not, there's some markets that are still in the 150 range for a brand new house. They're little houses, but I think little houses are better for rentals anyway, because they're affordable. And you know, there's people that don't have kids or, you know, retired couples that would be happy to rent a smaller house and not have to spend so much on air conditioning and heat and so forth. So we're still able to find properties that are brand new in the $150,000 range. That's the price we were paying 15 years ago in Dallas. So it's amazing that we can still do that. But I would say typically it's closer to 200,000. We've even had some, found some prop, you know, they're even in the $250,000 range, which is way higher than we're used to spending on a rental property. But at the same time, and we have a rental fund, we have a $5 million fund that we started 4 or 5 years ago. And properties that we just bought a few years ago have gone up so much already. So even though they weren't the highest cash flow, they still cash flowed, but the appreciation was so much more. So, you know, I don't like to rely on appreciation. I don't think that it's a gamble no matter what. But if you can cash flow, if you can buy a property that cash flows, that pays for most of the expenses with some left over to put in your pocket, and you're in an area that's growing, and there's limited new product, you're probably going to get that appreciation over time, especially with all the quantitative easing going on, with all the money printing that has historically driven up prices. It's like fake. I don't know how to say it. It looks like the property is worth more, but it's really just inflation. It's just more money in the pool. But that's most likely going to happen.
Yeah, makes sense. The easiest way to explain inflation is when you have $10 and you have 10 apples. It's $1 for an apple.
Yeah.
And if you have now $20 and you have same 10 apples, then it's $2 for an apple just because the limited number of apples. Same thing and happens with the houses.
If you have 20 people who are hungry, you're going to get, you know, the $2 or the $3 or whatever it's going to take if there's only 10 apples and 20 hungry people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the right message. So I appreciate your wisdom. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast. How would folks reach out to you if they were interested to buy one of these built-to-rent houses in one of these markets? Well, what's the best way?
Best way is just to go to our website, realwealthnetwork.com, and you join for free. And then you could talk to one of our investment counselors. They'll help you set up a plan, help you figure out which market might be best for you. We have a ton of free data that people can use and borrow. And then, of course, like, I don't know, I forget what it is now, several hundred webinars that teach all kinds of topics. Again, that's free at realwealthnetwork.com. Then my podcast, The Real Wealth Show. And then I wrote a book called Retire Rich with Rentals that really, really simplifies the process of buying that first rental property.
Retire Rich with Rentals. I assume it's available on Amazon.
It is.
Everything is on Amazon.
So everything's on Amazon.
The whole world has changed suddenly with this pandemic. Obviously, used to be the book only, and now I don't even know what they don't do. It's almost to the point where they do everything. Thank you for your wisdom. Appreciate your time, and I would love to have you back one of these days again.
All right, I'll make sure Rich is there then.
Yes, you gotta have both of you. Thank you.
Yeah, perfect. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike Zlotnick. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.